Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, Paul is going to get into the dangers of materialism as we continue in our study in 1 Timothy chapter 6 concerning a right view of money, the proper understanding of how Christians are to relate to wealth in this world. And a very important study it is, and we thank you for joining us on this Monday, July 5. And we are very grateful for those financial gifts that help us maintain the broadcast on this station. Well, we've learned, according to verse 6, that the measure of true wealth begins with godliness, which essentially means begins with salvation, the new birth, and then continues with contentment, learning to be content with what God has provided. Now, godliness with contentment, we read, is great gain. Now, folks, the key to all of this is understanding that whatever you have is what God wants you to have. The health and wealth practitioners hook a lot of people by telling them God wants you to be wealthy. And if you will just listen to us and do what we tell you to do, believe what we tell you to believe, exercise faith in the right proportions, envision the wealth that God wants you to have, conceptualize it, speak it into existence, and all these kinds of things. If you'll just do that, and of course support us very generously along the way, then you will receive the wealth that God wants you to have. God wants you to be rich, and you just need to qualify yourself so that God can give you what He wants to give you. Now, I've got a different perspective. And my perspective is that you already have what God wants you to have right now. Now, God may want you to have more next week, next month, next year. God may want you to have less. But you already have what God wants you to have right now. And that's why Paul can say godliness with contentment is great gain. It's this lack of contentment that is so destructive. When you buy the lie that God wants you to be rich, He wants all of His children to be rich. You've just got to find the right formula. And of course, I, the great Christian teacher and leader, can give it to you if you'll just listen to me, hang with me, follow me, support me, do what I tell you to do, and I'll tell you how to make this happen. God wants you to be rich, but for some reason you aren't now. You are not now, so listen to me, and I'll tell you how to get what God wants for you. Oh, come on now. God wants me to be rich, but I am not rich. How do you know God wants me to be rich? Oh, you're a child of the King. God wants all of His children to be rich. Oh, let's not go back over that again. That is such a misrepresentation of the Bible. Here's the truth. Here it is. God's Word. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Does that sound like God wants all of His children to be rich? Now, I'm reading Bible to you. I'm not telling you something that I say I got out of the Bible. I'm not taking texts out of their context and distorting them to mean something that the author never intended for them to mean. I am reading to you straight from the Word of God. I'm going to read it again, and as I do, you think about it and ask yourself the question, does this sound like God wants me to be rich? Here it is again, 1 Timothy 6:6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Content with food and clothing. Enough food to supply your need for food, enough shelter to supply your need for shelter, and that's it. That's all anybody needs, and if you've got that, you can be content. In fact, if you've got that, you should be content. If you've got that, Paul says to Timothy, we will be content. It's a promise. It's a covenant. It is an agreement. We agree that if we have these things, we will be content. We'll not be desiring any more than that. We'll not be envious. We'll not be covetous. We'll not be agitated. We'll not be discontent. We'll not be trying to figure out that angle where we can have a whole lot more. And we will not believe the lie that God wants us to be wealthy. He may, but he may not. He doesn't want all of his children to be wealthy. If he wants you to be wealthy, then in his time, he will make you wealthy. But for now, be content with what you have, believing that what you have is exactly what God wants you to have. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that most people go through several different economic levels throughout their lifetime. Not everybody does, but most people do. Most people in America, and I say this by way of observation, have periods of their life where they are very tight financially, and then they have periods of their life where they are much more comfortable financially. And I think that's the best way to put it. Either very tight or comfortable enough where you don't have to be so tight, where you've got some extras. Those two conditions. I certainly have been in both of those conditions, and I think most people have. Now, when I was just really, really tight, just barely scraping by, should I have thought at that time, should I have believed at that time that God wanted me to be rich, but for some reason I wasn't? No. That certainly wouldn't make me content. That would make me so discontent. What's wrong here? God wants me to be rich, and I'm scraping. I'm having a hard time. Actually, when I was completely convinced that I had exactly what God wanted me to have and was content with it, that tightness didn't seem so bad. It really wasn't bad at all. God always supplied enough. I never went hungry. I never went begging. God supplied my needs when I was single, and our needs when I was married and had a family, in some amazing ways. We have some wonderful stories to tell about those times. I can remember. I may have told this before on the radio, but if I have, it's been a long time ago. But I can remember when my wife was expecting our first child. We were a young couple, had started a church. It was very small and struggling. We had a very meager salary. Anybody who knew us, knew the church, anybody who attended the church would have known that our economic circumstances were very meager. We lived in a little white frame rental home and drove very inexpensive cars. We had started out with one and ended up getting a second one, but very inexpensive, just enough to get us around where we needed to go. And my wife was expecting the first child, and actually we did have medical insurance that I had brought with me from South Carolina. I moved to North Carolina from South Carolina, and I had that. And I was paying for it. The church wasn't paying my medical insurance. I was paying for it. And The premiums were steep in adjusted dollars. They would seem laughably small today. If I told you how much I was paying for that medical insurance to cover my family, including maternity coverage, you would think that it was nothing. But I want to tell you, it was a lot. It was almost as much as we were paying, as we were spending for groceries. And nowadays, it wouldn't be unusual at all to be paying premiums that are a lot higher than that. So you can see how things have happened in relative terms. But it was a lot. We managed to do it. God supplied what we needed. And I didn't think of ourselves as being poor, and I didn't think of ourselves as being in need. And frankly, the medical insurance was going to pay most of the expenses except for the normal deductibles, and I really hadn't thought about that. It just really wasn't a big concern to me. But I was out working in the yard one day, and a pickup truck pulls up, and a man gets out. He doesn't look very wealthy. His truck wasn't a new one. And he walks up to me, and he hands me an envelope that had several hundred dollars cash in it. And he said, "I saw you and your wife walking in the mall the other day, and I noticed that she's expecting, and I just thought maybe you could use this." And he got in his truck and drove away. I didn't know who he was, but I didn't know him very well. He had attended our church, but he really wasn't regular. He had visited a time or two. This was quite amazing. It was quite astounding. It was one of those unexpected provisions that almost seems like it fell right out of heaven. And there it was. I tell you, that more than took care of the needs. I mean, that paid for the deductibles, because they weren't that big in that day. That paid for the baby formula and the diapers and everything else. It took care of all of our needs. It was an amazingly generous supply. In fact, I really didn't, at that point in my life, I didn't know exactly what our needs would be. We hadn't had a baby before. I came to find out that there were quite a few needs. God provided for them ahead of time, provided what appeared to be a surplus amount, but as it turned out, it really wasn't. It was all needed, but just out of the blue like that. Now, does God normally do it that way? Oh, I haven't had things like that happen too many times. I've had a few stories like that, but I haven't had things like that happen too many times. Some people have tales like that as long as your arm, and just keep on telling them. I have a few. And I suspect the reason I don't have more is because there have been many times in my life when I frankly haven't needed anything like that. That was a time when things were relatively tight, but we had enough. God supplied our needs. I didn't feel like I was in poverty. I don't know if I was or not. Maybe I was, but I didn't feel that way. God supplied our needs. God always supplies the needs of His children who trust in Him. And that's all He promises to do. Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul doesn't say, "God will make you wealthy. God wants you to be rich." He doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need." The Bible says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." You learn that secret, and you'll be fine. You don't learn that, and you're going to be miserable. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.